Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which shall be the basis of our meditation this day, the Holy Spirit has caused to be written in the first epistle of John, the 4th chapter, as it was read a moment ago. In Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends, you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. When I read that verse penned by John so many centuries ago, I want to sit back and just reflect on it for a while. What does it say in our age? What does it say for a culture of our time, a culture that step by step has sought to dismantle everything holy, everything sacred, and turn it inside out? A culture that says of so many things, sin is not sin. Moral values grounded in the immutable word of God are matters of choice, and that seeks to banish from our society any hint, any sign whatsoever that confesses Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. What does it say? It says not you will overcome those who teach such things, but you have overcome them. Your victory is sealed together in Christ Jesus. I remember some years ago when I was feeling rather discouraged at the way some things were going in our church. I talked with a friend of mine, and he reminded me, look at the history of the church. Regardless of what happens, orthodoxy always remains. Church history teaches us that. Whether it be Donatism or Arianism in the early church, the excesses of medieval Catholicism, or the ventures of Protestantism into pietism and rationalism in more recent history, orthodoxy always remains steadfast. And even as we battle the postmodern directions of our society, where everyone does what is right according to his own eyes, such things shall not prevail against the church, which believes the faith once delivered to the saints. And why is that? Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The Lord of the church cannot and will not be overcome by the one who has been conquered. The battles we wage today should not really surprise us. After all, it is merely a continuation of the cosmic clash that climaxed on Calvary. The prince of this world has tried his utmost to defeat the Lord of love on that central day of history. To all the world, it looked as though he had won. The scourged body, the thorn-encircled brow, the blood flowing from hands and feet and side, and finally the limp corpse pulled off of the cross, testified to a mighty victory for the devil. How anguished he must have been when Jesus appeared in the courts of hell itself to proclaim to the spirits imprisoned there that he was the victorious one and that his death was the price to be paid for the sin of the world. It was the essence of sacrificial love. As our text puts it, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. No question remains for us that Jesus Christ is greater than the ruler of darkness. The great Easter hymn tells us the strife is o'er, the battle won. Indeed, that is the way that it is. Why then the spiritual chaos surrounding us? Why the moral confusion and relativism? Why, even in the church in America, does it seem that clarity of things once deemed as black and white is obscured in endless shades of gray, in a maze which seems to have no exit to the final goal of truth? It is because they, that is, the false prophets who have gone into the world, of which John speaks a few verses earlier, are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Whenever we hear the trumpet muted, when the word is made uncertain, the one certainty is that the prince of the world is at work and is infecting even the church. But we are from God, John tells us. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those who know God recognize his word. They are not caught up in the current zeitgeist. They are not seduced into thinking sin is simply another dimension of God's work within us. They recognize when they themselves have sinned, and in confession and repentance come to the throne of grace, humbly acknowledging their own lack of worthiness and seeking forgiveness from the God whose love was manifested in us in sending his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In the world there is confusion, distortion, darkness, and death. In Christ there is clarity, forgiveness, and life. The sinless Son of God came to overcome the world. In the cross and resurrection we see his grace, we see his love, we see his power. Anchored in him, we know that we have overcome those who are of the world and will continue to do so. We know we will continue to fight the battles because Satan will not give up his condemned crusade. We know all kinds of perversions of the goodness and grace God placed in our world will continue to occur while he is on the prowl. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error will continue to exist side by side as long as this fallen world remains. But we also know who will stand at the latter day upon the earth, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. My friends in Christ, live in him, and the victory is yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.